Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Ari's getting excited. Welcome, Cradonauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our laser pointer into the past. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
Yes, it is. It's been a long month of not recording.
Of the holidays.
The holidays have come and gone. We've survived them. And this is my great constant, sitting here talking movies with Ari. Mm. And I finally feel like real life has come back. So thank you for being here, Ari.
Yes, you feel normal again.
I do. This is my happy place. So let's just jump right in.
Yeah.
We watched Deja Vu, released November 22nd, 2006, 126 minutes, rated PG-13, directed by the late, great Tony Scott of Top Gun and True Romance fame, starring Denzel Washington, Paula Patton, Val Kilmer, Jim Caviezel, and Adam Goldberg. On the Rotten Tomatoes, the critics did not like this very much at a 55%. The audience kind of got on board at a 73%. And that's where we're at. This, I am so excited to talk to you about this movie. You specifically. I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited to talk about this movie. I'm really, really excited to talk about this movie with Ari.
Why?
Because this is either one of the greatest time travel movies ever, or this has the deepest, most bottomless hole that's ever been created in a time travel movie. And it's awful. And I need you to help me out.
This movie is almost frustrating for me because it's original. It's entertaining. You know, there's some great suspense. There's some great aspects that are like really cool. And I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. This was before I became a time travel enthusiast. And then I watched it again for this and maybe a third time. I can't remember. And then I remember when it was done, I was like, this sucks. And only because the science is so ridiculous and there's so many holes. And I remember being like, they must think the audience is just stupid. They must not have high regards for us because we will believe anything. It was just, it's a movie, I understand, but it's kind of ridiculous in a lot of ways. So let's talk about all those ways.
So I think it's interesting that you have a science problem with this. Like, obviously the story, you know, when the holes show up in the story, you know, these movies fall apart a lot. But I mean, it's all made up anyways.
Yes. And I know that it's science fiction. It's made up. But, you know, I'm the science enthusiast. And there's certain things that are like, what? Really? Come on. Like, basic. Somebody in the script should have been like, hey, this is like really, really not possible. Maybe we should try to fix it a little.
The quote unquote science of it all, I'm fully on board with as a science fiction made up synopsis. I can live in this world without much problem. Was there a particular aspect of it, or was it just easier for you to imagine a machine that you step in? Well, no, I guess he totally goes back in time too.
should we talk about all the
in
things?
Just a second. Okay. Let me just, yeah. And this was just, I mean, Denzel Washington, what a wonderful man. It's just such a, this movie was just so fun to watch because unlike a lot of time travel movies, there's a lot of money, a big budget, great actors. Like, they threw a lot at it. I mean, they blew up a boat, I think, for this. Like, I think there
was... Oh, yeah, that explosion was very real.
That was crazy.
That was a huge fireball.
It's amazing to see that in this day and age when they actually blow something up is very impressive. So, all right, that is all I have for facts. Now we're moving on to Ari's overview, and those are a lot of notes.
Well, don't tell anyone, but I just printed this off of the internet.
Yes, I love it.
I didn't feel like taking notes when I was watching it, and I was afraid I wasn't going to remember anything because I watched this a week or two ago or something like that.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's so taken us a while.
Just to be sure, I printed something out. But this movie opens in New Orleans, and we see a ferry boat, and we see a bunch of military men with their family getting on the ferry boat. Then the boat blows up in a big fireball, big epic explosion. And we see then police, and Denzel Washington is brought onto the crime scene. And he is part of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Yeah, explosiveness.
Explosions.
Yeah, and they definitely hovered, because it's still just referred to as the ATF, but they hovered over the building that had explosives. And I think later on, Denzel makes a comment of like, and not the least explosives.
So they bring him in to investigate. And the interesting thing that comes up, he finds bits and pieces and he like investigates the bridge nearby. But the interesting thing that comes up is there's a woman's body that is found that same day. And the coroner puts her time of death as an hour before the explosion. And Denzel says this body was made to look as though it was part of the blast. It had been partially burned and her fingers had been chopped off. And he discovers that, okay, this is important. This body has something to do with this explosion because she was made to look like she was part of it, but she was found an hour earlier.
So instead of they're like, there's this huge crime of the boat exploding, or there's this smaller crime of this single woman. So if we solve this smaller crime, which in theory would be easier to do, we'll solve the big one.
Exactly. So they have nothing to go on for the explosion. They have no suspects. They have camera footage isn't showing anything. And so they investigate this woman, and the head of this bureau, or some other bureau anyways, played by Val Kilmer. He says, hey, you're a smart guy. I'm going to bring you in on this special group of people that are doing this special investigation stuff. Come on in. And they are called, or the project is called, the Snow White.
So he, real quick, he solved some, he was the Oklahoma bombing, I think is what they say. I think Denzel solved the Oklahoma bombing by finding a fingernail. So they're like, well, if you can solve that crime just by taking a quick glance, then you can obviously solve this crime if we give it some special attention.
So they bring him into a program called Snow White, which is a satellite system, computer system that allows them to look into the past. Do you know the numbers, exact numbers?
4 days and 6 hours.
Okay, well, I'm going to get real specific with you. Ready? This time Ari's doing the numbers, you guys. Yes. Can you believe it? It can look precisely 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 45 seconds, and 14.5 nanoseconds into the past. Don't worry, I didn't figure that out. This was from the internet.
Okay, yeah, I missed that completely. That seems like something that I would have highlighted and wrote down.
Yeah, you know, some nerd was like pausing it precisely on some clock at some point. Anyway, they tell Denzel's character that we have these satellites positioned all over the globe and they're always on and they're gathering all this information. And, you know, it's so much information, it's so much data that it takes 4 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, and 45 seconds just to process it.
Yes.
Can you just imagine, wrap your head around this, people, how much data and information that must be, that it takes 4 days just to render it or whatever.
And while you're watching it, you know something's going to happen, but it's believable the amount of information they have, the amount that they're able to 360 zoom in, all that. As Ari shakes her head.
So, you know, this is Denzel's character seeing it for the first time. There's a bunch of people behind some computer screens, you need to add.
I was going to say, and they're saying now that they can't, because, again, it's so much data, they can't rewind or fast forward. They can record, but
Oh, no, they can't record.
I thought they could record it.
They couldn't record it. So this data is so much that they only get to see it in that one moment, right?
That's right.
They explain to him that there's so much data, it's so much information that we cannot record it. We have these amazing satellites that can literally spin 360 degrees on an event that happened 4 days ago, which is a huge hole right there.
Because it's what they tell him is it's recording the entire planet. At any given time, there are five satellites pointed at any place in the world.
You can't see me right now, but I'm rolling my eyes so far back with disgust. Right. So these satellites are recording absolutely every angle of everything on the entire planet that when the information is being now sent to their computer 4 days later, they can like swivel the camera around 360 degrees. They can go underneath the bridge and they can go, you know, zoom in on someone's face in the crowd and they like super suspicious.
Into buildings.
Oh, just wait. We'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Okay. So, like I said, I have a lot of issues with the science of this movie.
Oh, I love it.
So basically they triangulate images of the event. So they're going through the event and, you know, Denzel's like, why can't we record this? Oh, we can't record it. This is the only moment we get. So we need your eyes to see something that maybe we haven't seen. So they look through the footage. There's the investigation continues. Denzel looks more into the woman whose name is Claire. Her character's name is Claire. And they find out that by gathering all the rubble from the explosion, they were able to pull things out of the lake or the river, Mississippi River, that the car that the bomb was in was a red Bronco or whatever they called it. So they know that the vehicle that the bomb was in was a specific color and kind of car. And Denzel finds that Claire's car was a red Ford or whatever it is, and that she was trying to sell it to get some money. So he's like, okay, here's your connection. And he starts to follow this investigation and he talks to Claire's dad. He goes to Claire's house. Are we at that point yet?
Close enough. Yeah, he actually goes to the house early because when they really investigate it, he's already been there when the big team shows up.
So he goes to Claire's house and what does he see? I'll tell you what he sees. He sees bloody rags in the bathroom and in the garbage. He sees the magnetic letters on her fridge that spell "you can save her." He then listens to her voicemail and there is a voicemail from a woman talking about something for Claire, and then Claire picks up the phone and replies back. Then he hears a voicemail of him? No. Well, okay, let me rewind. In the beginning, the Denzel, what is his name in this movie? What's Denzel's name?
Doug.
One of Doug's partners in the bureau says, hey, you got a call from a lady who was calling about you. She sounded a little distressed. Here's her number. And Doug calls her back and leaves a voice message. And another thing that's
But he
notable,
doesn't know it's her.
No, he doesn't
it's
know
it's her. He just says, some lady He's like, called.
Yeah, he just says, hey, I got your message. This is Doug. Here's my number. Call me back. Another notable bit of information you need to know is Doug's partner, so-and-so, I don't remember his name, has disappeared or has gone on vacation or is it thought to have gone on vacation?
Yeah, he's definitely not semi-mysteriously
not around.
Departed. Yes.
Yeah. So when Doug is in her apartment, he hears the voicemail of himself and he's like, what the bleep? I did it for you. Yeah. But he doesn't really like dwell on that. He just kind of keeps going. I remember.
Because I think right after that is the one where she's a little bit where the woman, the friend is calling. Claire picks up, seems a little bit distraught and then says, there's someone here. I got to go.
Yeah.
And then so he immediately is more concerned about that than his call. There's a gun on the mantle. Let's get along with the bloody rags.
Right.
And things in this house that are making him wonder.
Right. So they continue to kind of observe Claire because they believe that the person that is going to buy her truck from her is the bomber. So they keep following Claire. Now, mind you, this is 4 days in the past. So in this past image footage, the bomb is going to happen in 4 days.
From where we're at now, about 3 days.
3 days. Okay. So now we're at the point where it's...
And they have to watch it again in real time.
Yeah.
So they're watching and watching and watching.
Yeah. And again, there's no recording. They have these huge high-tech satellites that record everything. But oh no, we can't just push push a little record button for what's on the screen. I mean, that's just craziness.
Too much data.
Whoa. Okay. So
I'm on board.
So there's one moment where they're watching the footage and Claire is taking a shower and she, you know, every man remembers the shower scene. That's the only thing Scott remembered. He's like, I remember they're like spying on her in the shower. It's really weird. It's like, weird. Yeah.
He's such a dude. I love him.
So she acts as if someone was there and if she heard something and she like gets out of the shower in her towel and like looks outside and Denzel's watching this footage and he's like, does she know we're here or watching her? And all the scientists are like, no, that's impossible. This happened 4 days ago, blah, blah, blah. And Denzel's suspicious. So I should have read this over before we started to refresh my memory. So the car buying situation doesn't happen. But she meets the guy. She meets the guy, but he offers her less money than she was expecting. And the sale doesn't happen. But now they see his face.
I think it was timing. He needed it now.
Oh, yeah. He needed it like for tomorrow. And she's like, I can't till Tuesday or something.
Yeah.
So the sale doesn't happen. But now they see his face and they know what he looks like. And they go through like security camera footage and they notice him on the bridge on his motorcycle or something. Mm-hmm. So time is of the essence, right? The bombing is in the past footage is supposed to happen like the next day or something. And they're watching the footage of Claire.
That's all they can do now. They're like really just like, we just got to
just waiting
keep
and
watching
seeing.
And watching.
And, you know, they know that this woman eventually gets murdered. So they're, you know, and they showed Denzel's character starting to like look at her fondly. And, you know, he looks at pictures that her father had given Doug Denzel. And, you know, so there's like feelings starting to, you can tell that that's what they're trying to portray. So there is one specific scene that is probably the most frustrating for me out of this whole movie. And that is when they're watching Claire and she's putting some kid to sleep, to bed. And he's suspicious. And the scientists are all doing their thing. And he like pulls out a laser pointer and he points the laser at the screen that they are watching. And like some lights flicker and things, weird things happen. And you see Claire, you see the laser pointer appear on like the lamp next to her. And she, in this footage, turns and looks at the laser and like a blackout happens in the city. Everything shuts down and they're like, what happened? We need to reboot, blah, blah, blah. What happened? And Denzel goes, he takes a laser pointer. He's like, that's what happened. And he like slams it down on the table. He's like, what is this? What is going on? And they all look at each other, you know, I'm like reenacting this.
Yeah.
What is it? And so like, okay, fine. We'll tell you what it is. This is not just observing images taken 4 days ago. We are actually looking at the past. And he's like, what? And so they describe it as a big old machine that is folding space-time and looking at the past.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
I wonder if they describe it differently in here.
No, they do the classic folding the piece of paper and sticking a pencil through it.
Yeah.
It's a wormhole.
Yeah, it's a wormhole.
And it's and they get past a lot of this with, we don't know what the hell this is. We made it by accident and here we are. That's about it. Like they, you know, they explain time travel per se, but as far as the machine goes, accidents happened, magic occurred, and now they just have this.
Oh yeah, they were trying to do something else and accidentally invented this.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it requires an immense amount of power. Like when they first turned it on, it created like a statewide blackout.
The blackout in New York and Canada that actually did happen. They talked about that real life event. And this machine is what caused it to occur.
So I don't know if we're getting the order of things correct for how the movie started. So now he knows that it is a window into the past.
Yes.
And
so now he's like, how can we use this? So we can, because before they're like, this has already happened. We can't save her. But now he knows they're actually, quote unquote, communicating with her as she's still alive a couple days ago. We can save her.
Yeah. So now he thinks, yeah, that they can save her. So the first thing that they try to do is send back a note, a piece of paper to himself, to Doug, to telling him where to go to catch the guy ahead of time. And they put this piece of paper in this circular machine thing and they close the door and it sends lasers through it. And then they watch the footage that this piece of paper just kind of materializes, like as it starts out as like a glowing light and then just materializes. Unfortunately, Doug does not see the piece of paper. He leaves before it appears and his partner sees it. And his partner goes to the location and the bomber is there and kills his partner. So we now know his partner is dead.
Yes.
So the machine, time window, I think is how they called it, has a range.
I'm just, before we get too far away from them trying to explain this. So one of the things I wrote down was the Wheeler boundary.
Wheeler boundary.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of the Wheeler-Feynman absorber theory. So this is going to be a little bit long. I'll edit this in post, but just for our benefit, I'm going to read the top of this Wikipedia page.
About the Wheeler boundary.
Yes, or the Wheeler theory.
Theory, okay.
The Wheeler-Feynman absorber theory is an interpretation of electrodynamics derived from the assumption that the solutions of the electromagnetic field equations must be invariant under time reversal transformation. Indeed, there is no apparent reason for the time reversal symmetry breaking, which singles out a preferential time direction and thus makes a distinction between past and future. Elementary particles are not self-interacting.
So basically, creating a wormhole can go back in time is the theory.
It's kind of cool that they mentioned it because whatever they were trying to build in the first place, this seems like there's a fine line here between electromagnetic, whatever you might want to do with that, and particles existing in two places at once.
Yeah. Science.
Yes.
So his partner, so the partner is dead.
And so this... totally, this at this point, you know what's happened has always happened.
Yeah.
Because they tried to go to the past and change it, but they didn't change anything because his partner always found the note, always went to the ferry terminal, and always died.
Denzel's character starts to question, like, did we cause this? He starts to question the fact that, like, maybe my partner would have been fine if this wouldn't have happened. But I think they find out that he died anyway somehow before this or something. Maybe not. He never knew what happened to his partner.
Because at one point there during the investigation, Denzel shows up. Like I said, he hasn't seen his partner for a couple of days. He goes, oh, where's my partner at? That's his car.
Oh, yeah.
Where is he? And they're like, actually, those are all the cars that we found parked where this incident occurred.
They were implying that the partner was on the boat that exploded. So he would have died anyway. So now they're just saying he just died a different way.
Did they say that?
They didn't say that, but it was implied that.
No.
So, because his car was in the parking lot of the ferry. I see.
Yeah.
So they found the car in the parking lot of the ferry and the part of the ferry place.
Terminal.
And that is where the note told him to go to meet the bomber. So you're saying that this has always happened, though this is always the way he has died. So he's implying already that this is a loop. Great. Okay.
My implication is this is a great movie. Just kidding.
So there's a lot of aspects about this movie that are great.
Yeah.
Yes. For me, I get hung up on the science. Okay. So the scene where he's chasing the bomber in the past, that's right around now, right? He shoots the partner and puts the partner in his car, and then Denzel is trying to follow him. Okay, so that's where I'm going. So this machine, this time window, has a radius. It has a range of which it can see 4 days into the past, and the bomber starts to drive towards the edge of that perimeter. But luckily, these scientists have a way to get around that. They have this backpack battery goggle thing that if you wear it outside of the perimeter, you can still see 4 days into the past. So Denzel gets in his Hummer and he grabs the little goggles thing and he's driving. And this was a cool part of the movie. I will give it that for sure. He's driving in the present and he's got the goggles on and he's removed one eye so he can still see where the hell he's driving. But he's seeing his present and he's seeing 4 days into the past. In the past, it's like raining and it's dark. He's trying to follow borrow this car. This was a cool scene. I will admit, it's a cool chase scene, but it is utterly ridiculous scientifically. Come on, you needed all this power and all these satellites to see in this radius, but you can't see further than that, even though these satellites supposedly are all over the world. So these goggles.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you can make it to go, then why aren't you all just wearing a helmet and walking around?
So Desmond is furiously trying to figure out how to explain this to me.
I am, because I forget that the helmet is separate from the vehicle, because I always thought, or not always thought, but that the vehicle was full of power and whatnot and communicating with the, because basically it's just a transmission package back to home base. That's what I got.
So if you think about what this machine is doing, it is in real time creating a wormhole to look 4 days in the past. So this backpack goggles thing is an extension of that wormhole. You go outside of this, you know, range of wormhole, you're creating another wormhole with wherever you are. It's ridiculous. This wormhole is being created from this little device. It's a stretch.
See, my problem with it now is why they don't just have a dozen of these headgears and they're not just canvassing the entire city at all times.
Well, if the city is within range of their device, they don't need it, because this device can even go through walls, Desmond. Walls.
See, this is, it's so crazy anyways that I can extend that craziness to this to-go rig very easily.
Right. This is science fiction.
Yes.
Like, science is very little and fiction is this big. Okay. Yes. So he is following the bomber 4 days ago who has his partner who is shot in his car, and he's following him to his hideout, his place. And he comes across a part of the backyard that's burnt, and in the footage they show, or you hear him burning his partner. He shoots him first and then he burns him. So they witnessed that, but of course they can't record it, so they don't have any evidence, right?
So Denzel is looking at, in real time, he's looking at a building that's been half blown up, mm-hmm. as a car.
There's an ambulance crashed into the main building.
Yeah.
But now they know where the guy's lair is. And as Denzel, they get all the feds there. And as Denzel is going through the rubble, he finds a little tiny earring that he knows is Claire's, because when he was looking at her body, she was missing a little stud of an earring. Like, he's got an eagle eye or something.
Yeah.
This tiny little earring. So he knows that she was there. So where does it go from here? Do you remember?
So now they know that he needs another car. So now he knows that he's going to be going after Claire's car, because the car he was going to use now has bullet holes in it and probably is bloody. And he can't use the original vehicle.
Right.
So now they're like, oh shoot, we got to get back to Claire, because now
he's probably going to steal it.
Yeah. And he's and probably have to kill her for it, is what their assumption is.
Yeah.
So now they're back.
When does he send himself back?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. So after they go to his lair, that's when the feds are like, we've solved it. We know who did it. So we're done. Like, it might take us a while to catch him, but we know who our guy is. Is that right? Do they catch him? Oh, no. Yeah. How do they catch him in the future?
So they know who he is.
But at some point, Denzel has a conversation with him in jail.
Yeah, but I think that's after.
No, that's definitely before he goes back, because that's when the feds shut it down. Once they catch him, the feds shut the whole thing down because they don't care about Claire. They just wanted to catch the bomber, and Claire's dead anyway, so whatever. And then
the bomb still goes off. Remember, he's like, I don't want to scare the guy.
After he goes into the past. But first, in the present, he has to have a conversation with Carol. When do they catch him? That's crazy that they jumped over it. So somewhere in a very short time between them finding his lair and Denzel going back in time, in reality, they catch the bomber. Denzel has a conversation with him. The feds shut down the operation because they got their guy. And then Adam Goldberg sends, Denzel comes back, and Adam Goldberg isn't surprised at all. And he's like, let's do this. And then they send Denzel back to the day before the bombing.
And the scientist saying, hey, this is a bad idea. Every time we've tried this, they die. They go into cardiac arrest. And he says, great, then just send me to a hospital. So they send him back and he appears in a hospital and they shock him and he is saved. And he's got, you know, a little bit of time left to...
He shows up in a hospital on a gurney and the doctor's like, where the hell did he come from? No one's looking at him, of course, when he appears. So they don't have to answer that, how he just showed up. And then on his chest, written in Sharpie, it says, resuscitate me.
So then he steals an ambulance and a gun and he's going to the lair because at this point the guy has Claire and Claire's car. He crashes the ambulance into the guy's house. There's a big explosion. He saves Claire, gets shot, but the bomber guy gets away in Claire's car with the bomb. And then there's like a slowdown where the bombing is supposed to happen like that day or the next morning or something, but they have time to go to Claire's apartment, have Claire clean up his wounds.
Well, I think for a minute, when they first go there, he's going to leave her there. He saved her. She can go home now. And then, so while he drops her off, he's going to go dress his wound. And then as Hollywood does, it slows down a little bit too much after that. But it's that day.
It's the same day. It's that morning. Yeah. The bombing happened at like 10 or something. So he has time to change the magnets on her fridge to say you can save her. He has time to get his fingerprints everywhere. His blood is on the rags in the bathroom.
So this is now when then at one point he looks around and realizes that
all this has happened before.
Yeah. Everything he saw at Claire's house 4 days ago.
So
4 days from now.
He decides to bring her with him. She'll be safest with him. So.
Because, yeah, that's right. Because he's like, well, if everything that's happened has happened, then she was always alive now. And when I leave her here, that's when she dies. So, yeah, you're safer with me.
And instead of calling it in, he decides he's just going to go to the ferry place and catch him or defuse the bomb. I don't know.
Because they need him. He needs him to think he succeeded. Because I think he's afraid if he blows the whistle too fast, the guy will get away and then just set another bomb next week. So he's like, we got to make sure he thinks that he succeeded with the bomb on there. And then we defuse it. So.
And then catch him.
And then catch him.
So the SUV with the bomb in it is on the ferry. And it's the same shot from the opening scene of the movie. And the Denzel gets onto the boat. For some reason, Claire decides to jump on the boat.
Tells her to... So Denzel's on the boat, tells her when the boat takes off. So again, he needs to make sure the guy thinks that he succeeded. When the boat takes off, talk to those officers behind you. Dial 911. While she's waiting to tell the officers, the bad guy walks around. And then when he gets out to the parking lot, he sees Denzel's truck, or he notices the car. Mm-hmm. He knows what car they were traveling in. So, it was probably the one with the bullet holes in. I think it was the original car that he had stolen that then they took from the compound, drove it there. So that guy sees that, knows they're in there. He doubles back and goes running for the ferry. And that's when Claire sees him getting on the ferry and decides that she's got to jump on the ferry too and tell Denzel that this is going horribly wrong.
So the bomber guy captures Claire and ties her to the SUV with the bomb in it. And there's a shootout and between Denzel, there's like security guards on the boat and the bomber, and he's shot. She like puts the car in drive and squishes in between another car, but the timer on the bomb is still going, and Denzel gets in the car with her and is trying to untie her from the steering wheel. It doesn't work. They put the car in reverse and drive it backwards off the ferry into the water. Water is rushing in. He's able to break the glass, rip the steering wheel out of the car. She's able to swim out, but Denzel is not able to swim out. The boat goes over the car and sails away to a safe distance, and then the car blows up. Denzel in it, nicely wrapping up our little paradox. Next scene is you see her on the shore and current day Denzel, who didn't go through any of that, walks up to her and she goes, oh.
If you had to tell someone the most important thing in the world, but you were afraid they wouldn't believe you, what would you do?
Try. Okay. So that synopsis took a little longer than I wanted to, but we got through it. It's a complicated movie.
We had a lot of good points along the way. So Those were good. Okay, Ari.
Yeah.
The question I need answered. They lay out a scenario in this movie that everything that's happened has happened will always happen. At least that's what I felt like. The you can save her was always there. The bloody rags were always there. His partner always found the note they sent back in time. So if everything's going to unfold the way it's always has unfolded, what did they change this time around to save her?
So it's tough because if you think about this as one timeline where whatever has happened will always have happened, it actually doesn't work. So there was a time where the bomb did go off. There was a time where she did die. And then there is a time where she didn't die, right? I'm pretty sure that this is multiple timelines.
Okay.
I think there is a timeline where the bomb did go off. There's a timeline where she did die. There's a timeline where it worked. There's many timelines where it didn't work.
So there's a timeline where his partner goes on vacation. There's a timeline where his partner is on the boat with the military and blows up. Mm-hmm. There's a timeline where I guess that makes the most sense with because it's such a, you know, because you say wrapping up the paradox where her surviving is actually a pretty large paradox compared to the timeline we saw before.
Yeah.
That changes a lot.
It's tough because the more I think about it, I go back and forth between the two possibilities. Possibility of it's one timeline and this was a loop and then they finally solved it to stop the loop. You know, what has always happened will happen. And then I think about it some more and I'm like, wait, no, it is different timelines because he disappeared from one timeline, reappeared in another one. But because there were two of them, he had to have to die, close up the paradox. So I don't know. I was looking through notes online about this a little bit, and there was a graph that talked about its multiple timelines, multiple universes, or however you want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was something else that talked about, you know, loop theory, that he was there, that this was a loop. You know, he's going back seemingly for the first time, but he was already there, which could indicate that he's tried this before and failed. Therefore, he had to keep going back. But maybe it's just a one big loop.
Yeah, that's, I was hoping you caught something I didn't. Like I was somewhere in this story, it would have been cool to have, whether we knew it only as the audience or Denzel knew it, that he did something different. And that's what skewed the timeline.
Yeah, a moment in the movie where he was going to do something and decided to do something a little bit different, which then created the success.
Yeah, because everything up until the boat, basically, up until Denzel being on the boat. But then again, I mean, I guess Denzel could have been on the boat the first time. It's identical. Like, I feel like that's what I wrote down. This movie is 99% loop theory. And then, and I think it's just Hollywood. I think it's that simple. They wanted the happy, weird ending. They wanted a cool time travel movie, which cool time travel has you go, oh, this is what it was, me who left the bloody rags. Whoa. Yeah. And then, but then it's also, you know, the guy gets the girl and he doesn't have to fight himself.
Yeah.
For her.
Sometimes I wonder if the writers, when they're writing this, do you think that they go as deep into the time travel aspect of it as we do? Do you think they sit there and go, okay, well, for this to truly be, you know, semi-real, because it is still time travel, he would have to go back and then it's a loop and he would do it again. That means do you think that the writers get into it as much, or they're just like, let's write this, it sounds cool?
I think a writer does. I think these are often taken, there's a short story or an initial writer that writes something that's a little science heavy. And then someone like Tony Scott gets a hold of it. And it's like, oh, this is a cool idea. But how does the guy get the girl? Because we got to have our cute little bow on at the end. And that's what bothers me. I think they could have had it both ways. They just needed somewhere in there to knowingly deviate from what happened the first time. And we don't. We see everything happen the way it, I mean, the EMT vehicle was always there. You know, I mean, it could be as simple as he just Maybe it was him going, no, you need to come with me, you know, this time. Maybe in the past, he's left her there. She's safe at home.
And that might have been in the original script, in the original cut, but got edited out.
Yeah.
Okay, can we talk about all the stupid things that I want to talk about?
Yes.
Okay, so we talked about the goggles already.
Yes.
Kind of ridiculous. Just keep in mind that what they are, how they're describing this working is a wormhole, right? Wormholes are a hole in space-time, in the universe. Think of like a black hole, kind of similar. Would require a tremendous amount of energy. And there's no physical evidence of the wormhole. Right, there's a constant visual of 4 days in the past, but there's no indication of where the wormhole is, and you don't see it.
Yeah,
it's invisible. And apparently, this wormhole can not only go through walls, can not only see into walls, which I guess, okay, there is still space-time on the other side of that wall, so you're just projecting your wormhole through that. Great, but it can capture sound. You can send sound through this wormhole on the other side, but still you can't record it, which is just, I don't know why I'm so stuck on that.
I swear they said they could record it.
Oh, no. If they did record it, they're contradicting themselves.
Or maybe they even just had, like, even if they couldn't internally record it, they could set a camcorder up in the room and record it, like, someone...
On someone's phone. Stick up your phone and be like... recorded off the screen.
Yeah.
They were very clear to be like, nope, we only get one shot at this. Once we've seen it, it's gone. It's in the past. That's why we need your eyes. They were very clear on that.
I know what the feed they were, but I thought, but that makes sense that if it's that many gigabytes that, yeah, trying to put that onto a hard drive would be difficult. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have the to-go rig, or do you swallow this easier? Was it the to-go rig that really... Because, again, we're watching time travel movies.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, I mean, if in the time machine he can do it with a doorknob and a little spinny thing, then scientists with an endless budget and...
No, it was such a cool scene of the movie that, like, I get it. That was probably one of the highlights of the movie. It's just, I can't help but sit there and think about the logistics scientifically. You know, it just makes me frown. And I'm like, wait, no.
Well, and I wish they would have done something. I think it could have been a cool visual of like one of the trucks from the past going through his car in the present. Like, I thought that would have, like, what they'd never showed him interacting with the past at all.
Yeah.
And so do you think, would you have liked some kind of a visual interpretation of the wormhole, of what they're actually seeing through into the past?
I would only because I know that scientifically a wormhole is a massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, yes, I would, but I understand that would take away the ability to be secretive, to be essentially able to spy on somebody while they're in the shower or, you know, committing a murder. So I understand for this movie why they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it is cool. It is, you know, the goggles are cool. The fact that you can just spy on anybody within this circle is really freaking cool. But, you know, you sit there and you think about it more, and obviously it's a one-way wormhole. Why, if sound and light could come to the future, essentially, through this wormhole, couldn't they have taken other things from the past into the future? They didn't address that. I thought that would have been a cool aspect.
Well, they couldn't. Yeah, I guess if he's there with the rig, you'd think that somehow he could maybe interact with the past and grab something.
Because in order to actually interact with the past, you have to put something in that machine, right? The piece of paper or himself, and then be sent through that wormhole. So if you think about it that way, you open this wormhole, you can send things through the wormhole, but we can also look through the wormhole and have light and sound reflected and refracted back to us. It's just, it's so out there. Like, I would love to be able to talk to an astrophysicist or a whateverist scientist who specializes in this kind of stuff to just see what their take is on this. But I will say that the most ridiculous and frustrating point of this movie for me was the laser.
Really?
Yeah. You pull. Okay, so I just said, like, you use the machine to open up a wormhole. You go put in the machine to go through the, right? Pointing a laser at the screen in which you are observing will not do shit.
The screen
is just a screen. In order for you to interact with the past, you have to be put into that little machine, close the door, have the lasers be sent through you, right?
But if there is,
no,
which I know you're already unaccepting of the wormhole theory. If that is a vision into a wormhole, that's your B end of the wormhole is that screen, basically.
No, the B end of the wormhole is the machine, and they're just taking the images and projecting them onto the TV. It's like a TV. It's if you looked at your TV right now and you went bzzz, and then that affected the past. No, Desmond. Because the machine opens the wormhole. So the machine is the B end, if is that what you called it, of that hole. And through, you know, the machine is looking through the hole that it created and then is just taking what it sees and putting it on your TV. No. But it's an interesting decision that they decided to do it that way, because how else would you have shown in this movie what Denzel discovered? How else would you have shown that it is in real time a wormhole other than sending something through it? I mean, it would have made even a little bit more sense if he had like shined the laser at the door of the machine.
Yeah, the teleporter or something.
Yeah.
Like if he had shined it at that.
Yeah. But it's like the TV. Okay, so that's my biggest problem with the whole movie is the laser on the screen.
I just love how on board I was for the ride of this movie. And of course, yeah, I don't know. I even listening to you unravel it all, I still buy into whatever universe they created. Like, I'm okay with the world. So the one thing I wanted to ask, because the conversation that Denzel and the bomber have in the jail is very cryptic, and the guy obviously is acting like he knows stuff that, you know, a lot about fate and destiny and all that. Do you think that guy got a good look at Denzel during the shootout at his hideout?
When he drove the ambulance into his
house?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, because he was in the ambulance and then he was like hiding behind the door, although the bomber did shoot him.
Yeah, they definitely didn't interact very closely, but I think that could have been another interesting thing to talk about, or that could have been flushed out in the movie. If that guy had seen Denzel there and then Denzel in the present, and the Denzel in the present obviously is unaware of that interaction, that would have been an interesting aspect for him to come from, that he knows that there's something else. There's other powers in the universe. Oh, yeah, this is. Okay, so I don't know why I didn't put this in my notes. One of the writers says at one point, Tony Scott quit the project and he and the other writer had to work on the script so that Denzel wouldn't quit as well. They worked the script over 2 weeks and the revision was deemed so good that not only did Denzel recommit, he called Tony and talked him into coming back on board as well. So it's, who knows if the original screenplay was too science-y and Tony was like, I just want to make an action film with a little bit of science, or vice versa. But yeah.
Interesting.
And then he says, reportedly Denzel made Tony look him in the eye and swear he wouldn't quit the movie. Tony said, I will not quit, but on one condition. He wanted to bring in his own writers. So I got a hunch there is a version of this that is super science-y. Because I with Tony Scott's track record, you can tell it was action first, guy gets the girl type of stuff. And they strayed so far away from that he walked away. So cool. I'm glad I found that. Because I think that answers a lot of question on the Hollywoodification of this story. So let's pretend that this device does exist.
No.
It does, though.
The answer is no.
No?
I wouldn't use it. No.
You wouldn't use it?
No.
Come on.
You die. You die if you go through it. And...
Well, okay, just the viewfinder then. So let's say you don't actually time travel, but you have. Yeah, I don't think I. Yeah, go back in time. I don't think I use it either. Yeah. But I think I spy. I don't know though. The past, like if it went 4 days into the future, I use it constantly.
That's a good question. Could this be used to go into the future? I mean, it's bending space time. Why couldn't you bend it towards the future and see what is going to happen?
Let's write Deja 2.
But if this did exist, it would be very interesting. If this was something that was real, it would be used in crimes, mm-hmm. in the justice system, and people would probably be acting very different because if they were in that range, in that circle, or within the range of those stupid goggles, everything you do could be observed.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would be acting very different, I'm sure.
Sorry, if you want to watch me do, as long as I don't hurt anyone, if you want to see the gross things I did 4 days ago, that's your fault.
Yeah.
That's yeah. All on you. Oh, well, that was a fantastic conversation, Ari. I love
Wait, one more question. Yes. Did they ever explain why it was called Snow White?
Because there were 7 satellites.
I thought there were 5 satellites.
At any given time, 5 satellites were pointing to one place on Earth. So they were spread out around the world in such a way that...
That's stupid.
Isn't that cute?
No.
Little 7 drawers out there keeping an eye on things for our little Snow White.
Oh, goodness.
And now for some contact info. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of deja vu. So you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of deja vu. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing discussions about episodes and a heads up on what film is coming up next in case you would like to play along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. And also our Time Pop specific feeds are all at TPOP9216. Please feel free to email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Don't be shy if you're catching up on old episodes. We would still love to hear some new thoughts on old shows. And definitely let us know about a movie you would like to hear us discuss on a future entry. And also check out whatsoundsawesome.com to hear what else sounds awesome. We are officially working on something very awesome there. I know I've been teasing that a little bit. I had a few things rattling around the brain, but there is actually something really cool in the works that is very different. And when that comes along, I will continue to recommend that you check it out. Ari and Dez will be back in 2 weeks with a new Time Pop, but if you would enjoy another fun film discussion, tune into Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday, starring Scott and Dez. Next week, we are doing The Souvenir. It is the yin to Drop Dead Fred's yang, and it is a heck of a movie. We'll just put it at that. It gave us a gold mine to discuss on the show. So say what you will about the movie. Check out the podcast. It's a lot of fun. And now back to the big finish. I like this idea. It would be really cool to see someone more adept at science try to figure a situation like this out. Because there is something with the viewfinder. There's something almost believable about it. Not the way they set it up. You know, we can argue about the wormhole situation, but the fact that it's 4 days ago, it happened. Why couldn't we spy on it from the future? I feel like there's some plausible science in there.
Well, I mean, like the article you saw, and I found some stuff online too, this is based in an actual theoretical thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, the wormhole into the past is a theory, is a mathematical equation theory that scientists have talked about and researched and things like that. So this is based in a real theoretical thing in science, but they just took it and ran with it.
Yeah, they did. So someone out there, do this better. I like this movie. It's great.
I do too. That's the thing.
There's so many cool. It's so weird how time travel movies exist in this space where I don't know if they're actually intellectual property because people never expand on these ideas and take them further in a new movie. And I wonder why people are so, maybe they're just like, it's been done, whatever, or that's his idea. I got to make up my own idea. But like with Free Jack and this, like those are some really cool ideas.
Oh yeah. Someone definitely needs to redo Free Jack.
Yeah. That's very cool. All right. Until next time, we will we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Ari.
My pleasure.
Thank you out there for listening. Until next time, this is Desmond McNeese.
And Ariel Gala. Bye.
Something in our real world to note.